and present. I also note with sadness the passing of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II on 9th of September. And while we are conducting a regular meeting, I will let you know that, in my view, there was a notice without motion that was in order submitted by Councillor Schilling in the manner of a condolence motion. So that is something that we can deal with at the end of the meeting, and we'll proceed with our other business in the meantime. I let everyone know that the meeting will be recorded for audio, that will become available in due course. And I ask elected members, if they foreshadow any potential conflict of interest, any item on the agenda. Councillor Hull's got one. It can be, that's noted. Thank you. Then we'll keep moving. Would someone like to move? I'm just checking with governance whether, had we not confirmed the minutes of the general council meeting prior to the special general council meeting? Oh, very good. So after confirmation of the minutes of the previous general council meeting, plus the special general council meeting held on 30th August. Someone like to move? Councillor Pryor, seconded Councillor Schilling. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. There is a petition with some with options, actually, in relation to the motion on page 38. Councillor Hutchinson. Would you like to move? You'll see, basically, there's a reserve where a group of residents want additional features. It's not in accordance with the open space plan. So council may either wish to politely decline the petition and refer people to the open space plan, or the alternative being to come back with a report to vary the open space plan. So, slightly out of order, but I'll take the question, Councillor Schilling.
Just a question. Can we identify which particular piece of land they're talking about? Because that reserve is quite a large reserve and Friar Street is basically right next to it. So I'm actually a bit confused about what land they're actually referring to.
I don't know if it's possible to get up a map in the course of the meeting. Theoretically, yes. But you'll see that in the report, staff do make the point about the closeness of other improvements which council is going to be making. So and has made. So council recently invested in the upgrade of Central Avenue Reserve and the nearby Friar Street Reserve. And that the petition refers to vacant land between Central and Friar Avenues. So it's what is that, about 50 metres away from Friar Street Reserve? I don't, in a case like this, I wonder if council staff actually make contact with the head petitioner and discuss the open space plan, or does it just get bowled into the sausage machine at council? It's just an open question to start. Ms. Pitcher's just coming forward to see if there's any additional communication might assist. Right. I appreciate that the petition can come in quite close to the council meeting itself. Ms. Pitcher, can you add anything?
Certainly. Through the chair, yes, I can confirm the petition area that the resident is talking about is the northern portion of Central Avenue Reserve, just where Tory has the mark. So the southern portion of Central Avenue Reserve was recently upgraded. We do have funds within the open space plan for the upgrade of the northern portion, but not until 28-29.
Right. Do you mean to say that if we don't accept the petition now, then in 28-29, the funds are there to make improvements such as they might request.
Yes, correct. Through the chair, council has allocated $402,400 for the upgrade of Central Avenue Reserve North, and that is to build a multi-use court facility, some car parking funds and fencing funds.
But that could be adapted after consultation to some sort of a pump track if that's what residents wanted. Is that right?
Yes.
And to my question earlier, has there been any contact with the head petitioner since it came in to sort of clarify these things with them? They may not know all of this useful information.
Through the chair, I was notified around the petition on Friday, so we haven't touched base as such, but we can definitely do that with the resident.
All right. Well, Councillor Hutchinson, why don't you test the waters with one option or another? So that's the, yep, the one and two with the information and three with advising the petitioner. Rightio, did you want to say anything further, Councillor Hutchinson? Then is that seconded? Or a question from Councillor Bleskin?
Thank you, Your Worship. I'm just wondering if we can leave the door open for some sort of discussion with the petitioners and local residents as to whether that's something they may want to look at in the future. So, you know, if we tell them 29, 28, they may think, well, that's quite a long time from now. You know, they may wish to look at how this could be recalibrated and if that could fit into something sooner, or, you know, whether there'll be any election funding coming in 3 or 4 years. Or, I just wanted to take some advice on that. Just so we don't say, okay, we're going to do something in the future, there's other areas, that's it. Just to kind of say, look, okay, if you think this is something that is worth exploring further, you know, this is an avenue, but it's not going to happen straight away.
Yeah, I mean, I think that in one sense, it's a black and white question of whether we stick to the plan or not. But Mr. Harrison, do you want to respond to Councillor Lefkoe's question?
Well, if I could just please, through the chair, add some additional information. So we currently have a pump track within 1 kilometre at Nanagoo Reserve, or just over 1 kilometre. And I also understand at Capella, which is around about 3, we also have another pump track as well. So I think we'd really need to consider the value of having another pump track versus the additions that have been explained at the moment, even though it's a number of years off, obviously. But I think we'd have to reasonably consider the viability based on having multiple pump tracks within close proximity of each other.
Well, if I could answer Councillor Vlescu's question best I can, the alternative to simply noting the petition as Councillor Hutchinson has moved and advising the petitioners, obviously not just that it's been received, but with that information that's been discussed. The alternative, Councillor Vlescu, if you don't want to go down that track and you want to talk about some different timing, whether it's 2 years or 4 years or anything else, then you would vote down this motion and propose the alternative of a report to be brought back about the timing and other and budget implications, etc.
Oh, look, that's fine. I'm happy to leave it as is. It's not my ward. I was just curious about it. So also Mr. Harrison's explanation as to the proximity of a similar facility satisfies me.
So at this point, I'm waiting for a seconder, but I have a question from Councillor Gard.
It's probably an obvious answer, but would not the natural processes of consultation bring to light new ways of looking at the northern part of the reserve?
The short answer there is yes. So although staff indicated earlier that although they had sketched in some potential improvements, as the Mayor noted, with consultation, if a pump track is what people want with the money that's allocated in the funding already, then that could be the result.
And if I could just add a comment there that we should also remember we've put in a small mini pump track at Nimboya Street Reserve, not that far away to the north. So,
well, I'm after a seconder. Councillor Gard, thank you. Did you wish to add anything further? Anyone against the motion? Councillor Hull.
Mr. Mayor, I'm not necessarily against the motion, but I've got some questions at this point. In the petition, it talks about removal of large pines to construct the track. I had a quick look. I can see a pine tree, but what species are they? Are they alipos? There are alipos in Hallett Cove.
Ms. Pitcher.
Through the chair, I commented just within the response that we would have to get council's arborist to come out and have a look at the site. But I can confirm, I think the petitioner is actually talking about the Alocasia glaucus, not so much the pine trees. This is actually the location, the tree on the left. There are a lot of immature eucalypt species, so we would have to look on site with the arborist as to the correct footprint for any facility.
So I've got a question about procedure now. In the past, petitions would come to us, we'd note the petition, and then staff would do a report, and then it would come back again. Have we departed
from that? That hasn't happened for some time.
Yeah, in this case, it would be probably useful.
It could be that it hasn't happened for some time because of the fact that council agreed on a plan of works for all sorts of things, but in this case, open space improvements. And so there's no need to come back with another report, given the information that staff have already provided, unless councillors want to change the plan, the 10-year plan. And indeed, we could, council's at liberty to change that plan every time we get a petition about a local reserve, but then it wouldn't really be a plan.
Mr. Mayor, well, on that basis, I'll speak against the motion because I support the alternative motion and I give notice that if this is unsuccessful, that's what I will move. In terms of the plan, in a matter of a couple of months, we're going to have upward to seven new people around this horseshoe. What's their plan? You know, like we're talking about a plan that is could be obsolete within a couple of months. So I think to actually do this justice, we need a report from the staff, from the arborist, all of those things so we can make a considered decision about the petition. I think that's the only fair thing to do, but that's my humble opinion.
Any others in favour? Councillor Blescu?
I'm in favour. I think this is the best way to go. And I think it's probably the you know, if we're looking at due process, revisiting our open space plan and the open space priority of the new council is the way to go. Singling this out at this point seems rather redundant. I think that's a better way forward. So I don't see why we wouldn't, there are going to be changes of calibrations to how we decide on infrastructure in open space areas. That should be done early in the next term.
Anyone else speaking in favour? Then I'll leave it back to Councillor Hutchinson. Nothing further to add in reply. So I'll put the vote. All those in favour, all those against? Carried by a majority. Thank you. Divisions called by Councillor Hull. Those voting in favour, please stand in your place. They are Councillors Masika, Valescu, Clancy, Pryor, Hutchinson, Schilling, Duncan and Gard. You may sit down. Those against, Councillor Hull. So the motion is carried. Thank you. And I take it, Ms. Pitcher, in terms of getting back to the petitioner, all of that information about future funding, future timing, future consultation will be conveyed. Thank you. All right, we've got a cover report for a confidential matter. So out of an abundance of caution, I suspect both mayoral candidates should leave the room. So I'll hand over to the deputy mayor. At what point?
Okay, members, can I please have a mover for the cover page for the confidential item? Move Councillor Gard, second, and Councillor Schilling. All those in favour? All those against? Councillor Howell, you haven't voted.
I normally get offered the opportunity to give a personal explanation and then leave.
Well, Councillor Howell, if you'd...
Well, can I step out because I shouldn't be involved in this vote and come back in? Is that... that in order? Okay.
We'll conclude that Councillor Howell was absent for that vote. So we've moved into confidence. So all those who are listed on the confidential order, please remain.
No, sorry, members, we can't do them all en bloc. Members, if you go to page 48 after the confidential material, you'll see we are determining positions on the LGFA Board of Trustees. On the following pages, various people are listed. I think on your desks you will have a purple bit of paper, in fact, a couple of them. We can perhaps we should move to suspend standing orders to get this voting done. Councillor Valescu moved that way, seconded. Councillor Duncan, all those in favour? Great, that's unanimous. So you've got two bits of paper for the next two items. You've got the Finance Group Board of Trustees. I noticed that on that group, there's one woman out of the six. I also note that there's one elected member out of the six, but leave that to your discretion, members. The other one is for president of the LGA. That position alternates between metro and country. That's why they're all country mayors, in case anyone was wondering. And... The only comment I was going to make that Mayor Parks and Mayor Vickery have certainly very, 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 very experienced, long-standing commitment with the LGA, but I'm not in any way suggesting that's a recommendation, just stating the fact. There was a question, Councillor Schilling.
Thank you, Your Worship. My question is with regards to the elected members of both of these. If they are not successful at the upcoming elections, does that mean the LGA goes to another complete ballot?
Yes, it does. It'd be a casual vacancy, effectively.
Right.
And, I mean, by the way, when the Constitution was being revised, I did make the point it was rather foolish to have a general meeting shortly after the general election, or at about the same time as the general election for all councillors. However, it is what it is, as they say. Councillor Valescu?
If any of the LGA president candidates have been uncontested ballots?
Oh, don't think we would know. We don't have that information available without a bit of research. That's research that could have been done in light of the agenda, but I don't think governance don't have that at hand. Are you getting them in two different piles? Are we just collecting one, or what are we doing? All right. Do you want finance?
Yeah.
All right. Finance, LGA. Right, so we'll just wait for that counting briefly to take place. We haven't actually commenced the motion. So in the meantime, the question is, what else can we get done? It is possible. I just want to highlight, members, it is possible to note all of the corporate reports for noting. However, I just want to make one point clear in the Mayor's opinion to staff that when Council notes something, it does not mean Council is endorsing something or approving something. So the item that piqued my attention there was the timeline for the implementation of the Reconciliation Action Plan. So just because we're noting something in the agenda doesn't mean that it's approved, in my view. So no harm in noting it, but it's with that caveat. And the only other thing I wanted to draw to staff's attention in that entire lot of material is in the Disability Action Plan. It's a very, very good foreword on page 76, but it does refer to the mayor of the city of Mariona, which I think is quite an attractive name, but not what this council's customarily known as. So that was bottom of page 76. Does anyone have any questions about any of those corporate reports for noting? If not, they could be moved on block without disservice. I resume standing orders and, with leave of the meeting, go to the corporate reports for noting. They've been moved on block by Councillor Schilling. Is that seconded, Councillor Duncan? I'll give the members the opportunity to speak on any of those matters, Councillor Gard and then Councillor Hull.
Your Worship, I think one of those items is the risk assessment, isn't it? The risk profiles.
Yes.
Just to clarify that. My only question in relation to that was that although it's an extremely well presented document, and if you understand the codings of colour, et cetera, easy to absorb, and that does take a little bit of extra time first go. But would it be possible, unless I've missed it, but would it be possible to have brief summary about when we are going to hit target risk level for each category, when we are hopeful of meeting that target risk level?
It seems intended to improve. What's the time frame for that improvement?
Yeah, because we've got
all right.
Action, but we don't have time.
When? Yeah, good, very good question, Mr. Harrison. So that'll be done for next time. I think that's what Mr. Harrison's saying.
Can I just make a quick comment? Sorry, through the chair. There is usually a number of risk mitigation actions that do sit behind the risks that do have timings attached to them. Depending on the risk, it will be dependent on when that risk level may potentially come down from a high to a medium. So, for example, one of the risks that we currently have in there is the current market conditions. At the moment, there's a number of controls in place, but there's also a number of market forces that are actually beyond our control at the moment. So that may be something that could potentially sit there without us having a really clear indication apart from what the economy is telling us about when that risk might actually be reduced. So we'll do our best to put some detail in there. However, it can be dependent on what's actually happening in the environment.
Councillor Holt.
Mr. Mayor, the question I have is in regards to the health matter. Last time this came to us, a number of us were quite concerned about some findings in the previous one. Unfortunately, the very subject matter doesn't appear in this report. And one of them I remember was child mortality. It doesn't appear in this report, yet it was in the last one. Why wouldn't we have that in our report?
Who can answer that question from staff?
Uh,
Through the chair, thank you for that question. I understand that I've taken advice that previously we've received some of that information via FIDO, and that was not made available for this report.
Can we seek it, please?
I'll take that on notice. Thank you.
Yeah, basically, you have a parallel between the last report and this one, just so we've got some data, fresh data. I think it makes a mockery of this exercise, Mr. Mayor, if we don't have consistency, so we can measure.
Thank you. That's been noted by staff. Thank you, Ms. Lynch. Any other questions, comments? Councillor Gard.
A different item, the disability access and inclusion item. I was wanting to just know whether it's seen that we could add value to our processes by making it more evident that people who are disabled are in need of good social stimulus and contact in some cases. In other cases, they have more of such contact than people who are not disabled. But I know there are national schemes at that level, but the national schemes can be rather remote. And I think local government probably is in a fine position to stimulate such thought and possible action to bring people that are able to assist socially more to the fore, make them more aware, and even survey those who are disabled to see if they regard it as potentially of some benefit at the individual level.
So the question before us is to note the report, and Councillor Gard, you're really saying that there should be that little bit of extra information in the report.
Yes. I mean, put in different words, yes, Your Worship. I think it is an area that could be sharpened. It's probably not something that hasn't been thought of, but I think it does bear mention.
Could we ask for a response from staff on that? Even if it's in relation to preparation of the next implementation report.
So through the chair, I'm certainly well aware of what you're suggesting. The challenge for us now is that block grant funding no longer exists under the NDIS funding. It's individualised funding. And one of the challenges that's been regularly reported back to the NDIA, the NDIS, is that there are institutions willing to provide services, but they don't have any funding to provide those services for inclusivity of programs anymore because of individualised funding. It's consumer-centric, and the consumer gets to choose what disability services they buy. I actually spoke to one of our ratepayers some 6 months ago whose daughter was participating in one of our programs, and we had lost all of the funding. We did extend it for a further 6 months at our cost until we transitioned, but it is a common criticism of the current arrangements where there is a sense of exclusion through individualised funding and people having consumer choice rather than block funding and providing services which have a group of people which become affordable to provide. So we are aware of it, and we do provide some group services still today in relation to disability services through the City of Marion.
To come back on that, Councillor Gard, yes?
Yes, I meant to say earlier that I'm accenting the social aspects of disability and probably a double accent for mental disability in that regard, because I think sometimes social support is a major vector in the treatment and even recovery for some mental cases.
So is it feasible to give that some additional consideration in the next report?
Through the chair, I'm sure we can give it consideration. I'm sure we can provide some commentary, and I'm sure we could probably highlight and reference as the group services that we provide through the City of Marion, and possibly agitate further for group block funding so institutions can provide services rather than leaving it as an individual purchases their own services as well.
And I might just add a comment of praise for the work of Headspace, which is now a neighbour to the administration centre here, which does include social connection for young people, especially with mental health issues. Councillor Hall?
question with the RAP. Mr. Mayor, I'd like to congratulate the staff for their persistence with the RAP and the good work they're doing. The question I have is, given the recent presentation of the operators, Southern Cultural Immersion, running the Warrawoona area, their presentation recently to us and the traction that they're actually getting down there, I'm just wondering whether the panel, including Councillor Masika, are actually noting their efforts, and are we actually picking up that in our RAP in terms of us actually, given that we facilitated that, given getting the appropriate recognition as a local government body, in terms of the enterprise that they're actually creating down there at Warrawoona.
Question for staff, if I could just rephrase that, is does the report adequately, or does the Reconciliation Action Plan adequately deal with the success of Southern Cultural Immersion at Warrawoona?
Yes, thank you, through the Chair. At the time the current Reconciliation Action Plan was developed, the arrangement with Southern Cultural Immersion was not in place. However, there's been some recognition in the report of the support for some of the joint activities that have also occurred through NAIDOC and Reconciliation Week around co-funding of certain activities down there and attendance of activities down there.
Well, that does explain it. I mean, we're in the middle of a 3-year plan, so the next one presumably might make more mention of what's going on with Southern Cultural Immersion. Any other questions, comments? Then I'll put all of those reports on block. All those in favour, raise your hand. That is carried unanimously. Thank you. And now we go back to page 48. I'm advised by our governance staff who did the counting that the successful nominations from this council are Annette Martin and Dr. Nigel Graves. So I'm looking for, we could do these on block as well. I'm advised by governance staff that the successful candidate for the LGA president position, as far as this council's nomination is concerned, is Erica Vickery. So would someone like to move both of those reports together on block? Councillor Masika, thank you. Seconded Councillor Bilescu. There's nothing more. All those in favour, raise your hand. Councillor Hutchinson was raising his hand, I think. No, he wasn't. Sorry. Just take that vote again. I didn't quite see. All those in favour of the two motions, raise your hand. All those against, raise your hand. Carried by majority, thank you. So now we just have one remaining item on the agenda. It is a motion without notice. I haven't heard that the Chief Executive objects, and in the view of the Mayor, it's an appropriate motion to be included, notwithstanding that we're in caretaker period. So, Councillor Schilling, would you like to move?
Thank you, Your Worship. I move that the City of Marin expresses its sadness at the death of Her Majesty the Queen and conveys its sincere condolences to His Majesty King Charles III and the Royal Family on behalf of residents of the City of Marin. Members, no matter which side of the debate you sit on, now is not a time to debate that. It's a time to acknowledge the 70 years plus service that Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II gave to the Commonwealth, and I think it is in respect that we move this motion this evening. Residents have had outpouring through different social media platforms, and I have seen long lines at several MPs' offices. I think it's just self-explanatory, members, that we move a condolence motion for the passing of Her Majesty.
Is that seconded, Councillor Gard? Go ahead.
Your Worship, some wonderful things have been said about Her Late Majesty the Queen in the last few days. I think it's actually bottomless as to how much there is to her history. I think from our point of view as servants of the community, that her service is one of the great examples for us to consider when we're about our service. Clearly, every other aspect of her life was complete as well. It's the service side that will truly make a difference in history. And I will say that it should make a difference in the way people more generally, whether they be in formal roles or not, see service. So I wholly commend the motion put.
Anyone speaking against? Then I put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. Carried unanimously. Thank you. And I thank members for those appropriate comments and the condolence motion. Long live the King. Mm-hmm. And I declare the meeting closed. Thank you.